on today's Weather Shock, something a little different. We're going to take a stroll down entomology lane. That would be bugs and weather. Specifically, we're going to look at the science behind those pleasant summer nighttime serenades by different creatures. And we'll end with everybody's hot topic, the emergence of the 17-year cicadas. So maybe you've heard that before, that summertime orchestra at night, and you wonder, what are the different creatures making that sound? Well, we're going to go through each one of them, just the main characters, starting with katydids. Now, what you just heard was a sound clip of a katydid. These insects are usually green, sometimes brown. They are medium to large insects with large, thick bodies and long legs for jumping. They have chewing mouth parts, long, thin antennae that sometimes are as long as they are. Some can fly and all look almost exactly like leaves. It's their natural camouflage. They have special structures in their front wings that are rubbed together to make the sound that you just heard. And other katydids detect these with these pseudo ears that are on their front legs. They eat plants, they live for only a year or less, and are nocturnal by nature, hence why we're talking about them. Some can fly, but only once they reach adulthood, and they live all over the world. So why are we talking about them? Well, because they are our first nighttime summer sound creature. When temperatures reach about 80 degrees Fahrenheit, this insect makes a sound that sounds something like someone saying, "Katie did it." So that's how they got their name. But if the temperature drops, let's say 4 degrees, then the insect doesn't seem to be as sure if Katie did it. And so it makes a sound that says, "Katie didn't." And then it can also say, "She didn't," and "She did," all the way to below 60 degrees Fahrenheit, where the call just sounds like Kate. Okay, what you just heard was an American bullfrog. They are the largest true frogs found in North America. They range from the Rocky Mountains eastward as far north as Nova Scotia and as far south as Florida. They can be brown or shades of green, and they can weigh up to 1 pound in weight. That's a lot for a frog. And be up to 8 inches long. That's like the size of the professor's hand, roughly speaking. And they typically live 7 to 9 years and prefer the warm weather since they hibernate during the winter season. The male bullfrog's call has a very low frequency, which means it can travel further. And actually, you can hear it up to 1 kilometer or 0.6 of a mile away. So, as our second summertime nighttime sound creature, they actually have a special sense or power. Frogs can predict the weather. No, seriously, they can. It's been found that when a storm is coming, frogs actually get louder and go on for longer during their nighttime chorus. How about that? Okay, I'm pretty sure everyone has heard this sound. These are crickets. They are nocturnal omnivores with very long antennae, and the male crickets make the sound that you just heard by scraping their wings together, kind of like a violin. They are distantly related to grasshoppers, and worldwide there are over 900 species of crickets, including those nasty spider crickets. Ew, don't like them. In some cultures, crickets are considered to be a sign of good luck. In the wild, crickets are the favorite snacks from everything from birds to bears to humans. And crickets kind of look brown or like black grasshoppers, sort of. Our third summer nighttime sound creature is cold-blooded, so when the air temperature changes, the cricket's body temperature changes also. Crickets are like tiny thermometers, so as the temperature increases, the cricket's metabolism increases, kind of like he's on tiny temperature steroids. So he's able to crank out those chirps, producing muscle contractions a lot faster and faster as the temperature rises. Therefore, if you count the number of chirps in 15 seconds, then you add 37, you can get an approximately the outside temperature in degrees Fahrenheit. This relationship between chirps and temperature was first reported by Amos Dolbear, who published his findings in 1897. The simplified formula that I just gave you isn't as accurate as Dolbear's, but it gives a good estimate nonetheless. And scientists aren't exactly sure why the cricket chirps, but some possibilities include attracting a mate, warding off other males when courting a mate, and sensing danger. And now our last summer nighttime sound creature is none other than the cicada. Now I'm going to spend a lot of time here, so stay with me. I'm going to answer a couple questions about the cicada, starting with the first one. What species are they? How do we classify them besides bug? So they are insects of the order Hemiptera, hemi meaning half, and pteron meaning wing. They are, quote, true bugs because their forewings have a thickened base and a membranous tip in many families. Their suborder is Achenorherentia, the Latin for neck beaks. Referring to the location of their mouths, they originate from the back of the head instead of the front of the head or between the forelegs. Their antennae are short and bristle-like, and adults have three subsegments. Other insects in the suborder are leafhoppers, treehoppers, planthoppers, and spittlebugs or froghoppers. Their superfamily is Cicadidae, which means they have large eyes that are widely spaced apart on the head and transparent, strongly veined wings. Their name, cicada, is a derivation of the Latin for tree cricket. In ancient Greek, it was called a titix, and modern Greek calls them zygzycus. So, how long have these creatures been around? Well, speaking of the ancient Greeks, cicadas are actually depicted on their pottery and art, meaning that cicadas have been around for thousands of years. So, what do they look like? They actually have five eyes. Three are smaller than the two large ones that we immediately see. There are actually over 2,500 species of cicadas globally. The males of most of those species and the females of some of them have timbal abdominal organs that produce the well-known cicada sound. Unlike other members of the suborder Achenorherentia, the Cicadae family, superfamily, have sound receptor organs as well, which means they can hear each other making these noises. The life cycle for a cicada begins like this. The mom cicada, after mating, cuts into the twigs of trees that they are in and lays their baby eggs in them. Then the baby cicadas, which are called nymphs, they are born, they hatch, they have no eyes, and they don't have as many segments as adults, and they only have little wing buds. And then once they hatch, they drop to the ground, and they have four legs that are modified for digging, since they're going to remain underground for 2 to 17 years, depending on what species they are. And the cicadas have the longest lifespan of any known insect. The nymphs then feed on the plant roots until they're ready to become adults, and the soil temperature is right. More on that later. They then transform, inflating and drying their wings and hardening their exoskeleton. This usually happens at night. The adult will only live about 4 to 6 weeks. They mate, they lay eggs, and the whole process begins again. The circle of life. So, how big are they? They range in size roughly from a half an inch to almost 5 inches long. And let me tell you that they are not pleasant to get stuck in your hair. I have had that happen. It's really unnerving to hear that noise, like right next to your ear. But here's some good news. They cannot jump, okay? So they're not jumping insects, they just fly. And where do they live? Well, cicadas like climates that range from tropical to temperate. So that's where we are in Maryland, if you live in Maryland. Although they are frequently heard, it's strange enough that they are seldom seen. That's because they have such great camouflage. Now, what kind of sounds do they make? Well, to humans, it might sound like a big racket. However, male cicadas actually make a wide variety of sounds to attract females. They are actually quite loud, often shrill, buzzing, usually would accurately describe their sounds, but they can also make clicking sounds like this. Interestingly, sometimes several different individual cicadas can synchronize their songs at the same time. They can do this by contracting and releasing muscles. Yes, bugs have muscles too, to make their timbrels, the things that make the sound, resonate or make their sounds. They also have a large air sac in their abdomens with a thin exterior eardrum that kind of acts like a tiny natural amplifier, creating even louder sounds. When you hear their buzzing start to taper off, that's all those muscles getting tired. Poor little things only have one thing to do all day. Well, that and eat. Cicadas are amongst the loudest of all insect-produced sounds. They can reach up to 120 decibels. In case you weren't familiar with decibels, it's a sound level measurement, and 120 decibels is akin to an ambulance siren or a thunderclap. This means that if you were to sit with some cicadas on either side of your face, right next to your ears, it could result in permanent hearing loss. Yikes! And they have a lid, so to speak, on their ears. I'm using air quotes so they don't blow their own ears out. Just like our crickets, the cicadas are singing to attract females, but apparently their sounds can also ward off predators like birds. Each species has its own distinct sound, and some are outside the realm of human hearing. You might notice that it's difficult to determine which direction is the sound coming from, and given that there's multiple cicadas singing at the same time, that makes sense, and their sound carries quite far. They also have an alarm sound in case one of them is in distress or being eaten. However, every night they generally stop the orchestra because of falling temperatures. Okay, let's talk enemies of the cicada. Some unnatural enemies would be tree removal, pesticides, and construction by humans, which have caused decreased population numbers of cicadas in urban and suburban areas. But their natural predators are, of course, birds, squirrels, and they are also susceptible to a type of fungal disease. There's also a wasp that's called the Eastern Cicada Killer. That's very pleasant. And whilst they're underground, they can be consumed by moles and other furry burrowing creatures. And I'm sure you're wondering, can I eat them? Well, I know it's probably not the first thought that you had, but someone did, because in China, Malaysia, Burma, Latin America, and Congo, they are actually a very popular protein source. Okay, so what do they eat? In a word, plants. Sometimes they are mistaken for a locust, but they actually drink plant sap. So more good news, they can't bite you, they can't sting you, but if they think you're a tree, they might try to eat you. Their favorite plant buffets are oak trees, cypress trees, willow trees, ash trees, and maple trees. So if you want to spot one, try looking at one of their favorite tree restaurants. Okay, so why do they come out? Well, first a bit of background. Now, in case you didn't know, we see different star constellations based on our seasonal position around the sun. Recall that our horizon is actually shifting by about 4 minutes every day, added up over the course of the year, and hence we see different constellations in different seasons because the stars are gradually shifting westward while new stars move up from the eastern portion of the horizon to take their place. Okay, back to the weather. So, these cicadas, the annual ones, come out during the, quote, dog days of summer. This literally is named from Dies Canicularis, or the puppy days, because of the period of time when the star Sirius and Canis Major, the great dog, appear in the night sky, usually right around the end of July. In ancient Greece, they believed that the rising of the star brought on hot weather, fevers, and sudden thunderstorms. The dog days of summer can last anywhere from 30 to 61 days between the 3rd of July and the 15th of August. Of course, now we know that the only star that influences our weather and temperature is, of course, our sun. Now, with all of that background, let's go back to our cicadas. So the cicadas can actually gauge temperature similar to our crickets that we discussed earlier. Cicadas like it when it's hot, and their songs can vary based on temperature. Some cicadas in the desert can actually sweat, and others regulate their body temperature. They're pretty impressive little bugs. So that soil temperature I talked about earlier with the little baby nymphs, the cicadas like it to be around 64 degrees Fahrenheit. And while that sounds kind of cool to you or me, soil doesn't usually frequent such high temperatures. It has to be between 63 and 66 Fahrenheit, 8 inches deep in the soil. Now, think about the last time you dug a hole in the ground. It was pretty cool, right? So think how hot it has to be for the soil to reach that 64 degree temperature. Often a nice warm rain will actually trigger an emergence of the little creatures. And now the part that everyone's been waiting for, when do they come out? Well, there are three Magna cicada species that appear only every 13 to 17 years, and there are 12 broods of the 17-year cicada that appear in the northeastern United States. They come out between late May to June, and these types of cicadas tend to be more red in color with bright red eyes. It's kind of scary, and reddish colorings that make them easy to identify from their annual brothers. The annual cicada tends to be more green in color and emerges during the dog days of summer, as we discussed earlier. The big brood, or brood X as they are called, brood 10, was last seen on the east coast of the United States in 2004. Reports of the emergence of in 2004 were as early as May 13th. Now, it has been predicted that they will emerge in the spring of 2021 in Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Washington, D.C. It is unknown why they stay underground for so long. However, current research suggests that their enormous numbers allow them to overwhelm any predators and suggest a high success rate at continuing the brood. And when we're talking large numbers, I mean more than 1.5 million cicadas per square acre in some areas. That number, like, boggles the mind. Some first reported sightings of the brood X were as early as 1907, with a map on file at the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Bureau of Entomology, which is the study of bugs. There's also a brood 2, which last emerged in May 2013, a brood 19, or the Great Southern Brood, which is last seen in 2011. Finally, cicadas have made their fame in folklore, weather folklore to be precise, and some claim that once cicadas start their buzzing, it's only 6 weeks until the first frost of fall. Now remember that these are referring to the annual cicadas, not to the perennial cicadas. Hopefully you've enjoyed today's discussion of summer nighttime noises. I want to give some credit to sources including Yesterday's Island, Living on Earth Almanac, National Geographic, BioKids University of Michigan, AnimalDiversity.org, Tarot.com, CicadaMedia.com, and sound effects were provided by ZapSplat.com and the Entomology Department at University of Florida.